For those of you who know me, for those of you who have to live with me, for those of you who have to put up with me, you know that I like to be on time. And furthermore, I like for everyone else to be on time as well. It's a compulsion of mine. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, I guess it depends on how it affects you. It depends on how much I respect or I don't respect how you deal with that particular subject. It's hard for me to understand how people can enjoy going through life if they are habitually late. I just don't get it. Now, if I'm stepping on your toes right now, just put them under the seat and give me a few minutes. I'll be over this in a minute. You can ignore me for now if you can. I'll try to move on. But I think Bob Hilliard's song in the movie, the Disney movie, Alice in Wonderland, was right on. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. I'm late. I'm late. Some people seem to enjoy going through life like that. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I can still see that rabbit running through the field and hopping and jumping and frantic and saying all that. Some people just don't care if they're late. Just doesn't bother them at all. It's like a new employee who got a job at a big business firm, and he started by being late to work the first 3 days in a row. On the fourth day, the office manager came up and met with him. He was so frustrated, and he said, "Look here, don't you know what time we start work around here?" And he said, "No, sir. They're already doing it when I get here." Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything. We read it this morning. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Well, I've also heard this, and I'm sure you have too, some people would be late for their own funeral, and some of them might be because of me, and I certainly hope not. We all use time. How we use time is interesting. They published a report in the U.S. News and World Report magazine. I don't remember exactly when this came out, so the statistics are a little off now, I'm sure. But it claimed that if you and I were to live an average lifetime in America, we would spend 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months looking at junk mail, 1 year looking at the stuff that we've misplaced, 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, and my favorite, 6 years eating. You've heard it before. You can call me anything, just don't call me late for, okay, dinner. So many things in our lives are supposed to start on time, like trains and planes and movies, the theater and radio programs and television shows and worship services at Covenant Fellowship. But some things deliberately start late, such as concerts. They start late because of those rabbits that come hopping in. I'm late, I'm late. And we all have to wait for them to find their seat. Finally, they get their seat and we can enjoy what we came to hear. Why, oh Lord, can't everybody be on time? There, that felt good. Time is a gift. Someone wrote this. It's called What Happened to Time? When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. Time is a gift. Now, what's the point of all of this? The question is this: is it important to God to be on time? The answer is yes. The whole universe is on time. God has it all under control. Isn't that amazing? Just to even try to grasp that. And here's some Old Testament support for God and his concept of time. Genesis 18, verse 14. God is telling Abraham that Sarah is going to have a miracle baby. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Now skip a few chapters later in Genesis to chapter 21. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. And while we're thinking about this subject, the birth of a baby is perfectly timed by God. He talked about it in Psalm 139. He said he formed us in our mother's womb. And in verse 16, he says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God sees it all. The Old Testament is filled with examples of and references to the appointed time, God's appointed time. Appointed by whom? Appointed by God. Now, in contrast to that, you will probably remember this verse in Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. God's overall concept of time and mine are very different. He is still, however, interested in specific time in some things. Let's move to the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we have a very similar teaching to what we just read in the Old Testament. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And then the writer adds this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. The problem, of course, is that you and I are not always patient with God. We want him to do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. God's plans may not correspond to our timetable. If God has a specific plan for your life and a specific time for it, don't show up late. Now, here are some more thoughts for the New Testament, Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son. I prefer what some other translations say about that. They say, but when the fullness of time had come. I love that expression, the fullness of time. From the first chapter of the Old Testament to the last chapter of the New Testament, God shows that he has a perfect plan and a perfect time. His clock is perfect. His timing is perfect. He is never too early. He is never too late. That's just one of the miracles of the Christmas story itself. And I'm sure many of you could stand right here, right now, and you could bring a testimony to all of us about how God has proven his faithfulness by doing whatever he had to do for you at the perfect time. If you think back over your life, I'm sure you can find many, many times when God had it under control and you didn't, and you had those aha moments. Yes, God is in control. Now, following the Christmas story, we began to read about the ministry of Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to his mother in Cana of Galilee at the wedding feast? It's in John chapter 2. Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. God always has a perfect plan. He has perfect time. And Jesus' timing did come. We read in Mark chapter 1, at the beginning of his 3-year ministry, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. This is the beginning of his teaching, his ministry. And here is the first thing he said. The time has come. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. He started his teaching ministry by talking about the perfectly appointed time of God. I love it. One of my favorite New Testament stories is in the Gospel of John. It's the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus had heard, of course, I know you know this story, but let's review it. Jesus had heard that Lazarus was deathly ill. And he deliberately delayed going to Bethany for 2 days. And when Mary saw him coming after Lazarus had died and had been buried, Mary said, "Oh Lord, if only you had been here a few days ago." Have you ever felt that way? "Oh Lord, if only you had been here for me a few days ago." Have you? I have. How presumptuous. How presumptuous. I mean, it's one thing for somebody like me to question your use of time, but for me to question God's timing. How presumptuous. It's faithless. It's sinful. It's probably stupid. He's in control. No, Mary, Jesus was deliberate in the time that he came. He even said to his disciples, after he heard that Lazarus was ill, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And then he raised Lazarus from the dead, and his timing and his plan were perfect. Are you willing to live in the now, knowing that his timing is always perfect? Never slow, never fast, perfect. Harry, are you willing to live in the now? I'm challenged by that. At one point, Jesus' brothers tried to push him. They wanted him to go to Jerusalem now and prove that he was a leader now. And Jesus responded to them in John 7, "The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right." Ouch! Any time is right. What a terrible thing to hear. Especially if we're really just trying to advance our agenda rather than God's. That's what his brothers wanted. They wanted him to get on that donkey and go through the Golden Gate. They wanted him to take over this Roman rule. They wanted him, all his disciples were thinking, this is what's going to happen. Paul understood it too. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." That's what it says. In its proper time. And one translation says, "at just the right time." I love that. As you leave here today, take that phrase with you. At just the right time, Jesus came out of hiding. At just the right time, after he had attended the banquet at the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha in Bethany, and the next day, at just the right time, they found a donkey tied up. And at just the right time, Jesus rode that donkey into the city. He went through the Golden Gate, and it's not insignificant that that Sunday, before Passover, on that very day, was the day that the farmers were bringing in the animals into Jerusalem to sell them to people and to have them be prepared for sacrifice at Passover in the days to come. At just the right time, Jesus told his disciples to prepare the Passover meal in the upper room. At just the right time, Jesus prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." At just the right time, Jesus told Peter that he would be in shame before the cock crowed in the morning. At just the right time, Judas accepted 30 pieces of silver. At just the right time, Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. At just the right time, in fact, exactly at the right hour, the Lamb of God was nailed to a wooden cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining. In our culture, in our system today, that was noon until 3 o'clock. And those were the exact hours of prayer and preparation of the lambs for the Passover meal. Continuing with the Gospel of Luke, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. God is never early. God is never late. God's timing is perfect. God's timing in your life is perfection. Whether you feel like it or not, trust Him. At just the right time, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the challenge before me, before all of us, to live in your now, to live in trust that your timing is perfect for all things. Thank you, Lord, for this sacrifice of love. Thank you for your sacrifice of death that we might have life. I pray in the name of Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen.